Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And as always, I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all, friend, I beg of you, I implore you, I pray that you'd make Him your Savior. If you're not saved, if you don't know your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you don't know that if you were to die today, friend, that you'd go to heaven, I beg of you, from the depths of my heart, I plead with you, to use a Bible term, I beseech you, put your trust and faith and hope in Christ. Repent of your sins and receive Him as your Savior. Listen, life is such a fragile thing. Life is such a fragile thing. There is no guarantee of tomorrow. Hey, there's no guarantee of the next moment. But listen, if you know Christ, you can have life eternal. You can live forever. Well, thank God for the privilege of being here with you. And I hope today our time is an investment. I hope God blesses us and just uses this time to refresh your heart and to challenge all of us that know Christ as our Savior to be all that we can be for His honor and for His glory. I've opened my Bible to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, one of the five books of the Pentateuch or the Torah, as it's referred to by the Jewish people. My, what a great book it is. I'm going to be looking in chapter 4, the last several verses in that passage, beginning about 45 and on down through the end. And I'll be sharing some things, just glean some things out of this great passage the other day as I was reading through. And, well, I just trust and pray that they will be a blessing to you. But before that, Deb's got a song she's wanting to do. One of our favorite songs. Oh, what an honor. I believe it goes right along with the message that God has laid on my heart. So you pray for me, won't you? And I'll be praying for you. Enjoy this song. I'll be back in a moment with the message.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Then I heard a thundering voice, it was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price, one day on Calvary. It all, He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice saying one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. He owns it all. He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a King. Hallelujah, just praising His name. midst of a throne, just praising the King. Oh, what an honor. Oh, what an honor.
Well, what an honor it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, listen, friend, I don't have to preach. I get to preach. I don't have to go to church. I get to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I get to read my Bible. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. Thank God. Listen, what an honor it is to serve the King. Thank you, Debbie, for that wonderful song. Well written. Well done. Oh, listen, one of the favorite down the church that God has allowed me to pastor. Oh, what an honor it is to serve the King. That's what this message is all about, friend. It's about service. It's about keeping the charge. In fact, that's what the title of the message is. It is keeping the charge. I was thinking about this a few days ago, and every now and then, friend, a message, we'll get a hold of a message as preachers, and we'll look at it, and we'll work on it, and we'll present it, but just every now and then, thank God, a message will get a hold of us, and it just won't let us go. We can preach it, and we can share it, we can teach it, and we can talk about it, but I'll tell you, friend, listen, it just kind of hangs on, and we've got to stay with it. We've got to try to process it out. That's part of this. That's part of this message today. I'm going to begin reading in verse 45 of the book of Numbers, chapter 4, and the Word of God has this to say. It said, "These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And all those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered after their families and after the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that came to do the service of the ministry and the service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them were 8,500 according to the commandment of the Lord. They were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service and according to his burden. Thus were the number of him as the Lord commanded." Again, I'm going to talk to you about keeping the charge. Now, I could have read other verses out of this great chapter, but I just felt led by the Spirit of God to read this, because in the latter part of verse 47 and again in verse 49, this is what the Word of God said. He talks about the service of the ministry and the service of the burden. In verse 49, he says this, "Everyone according to his service and according to his burden." Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, we've all got a charge to keep. Thank God. We've all got a charge to keep. And you say, "Preacher, when you're talking about a charge, what are you talking about?" Well, the word charge has a few different meanings to it, and yet they really come back to one. They're sort of synonymous, if you'll let me use that word. A charge has to do with a command. A charge has to do with a duty, an office to feel, a load or a burden to bear. And oh, friend, listen, those of us that know Christ as our Savior, those of us who have been chosen, bless God, to serve Him and to follow Him, to live for Him, and to learn of Him, we've got a charge to keep. In this world, listen, it's not ours to decide upon. It's something that's been given to us. It's a work that we've been called into. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to make up the rules. We don't have to decide what's right and what's wrong. We don't have to decide what to do and what not to do. All we're expected to do by the grace of God is to accept the charge, to take it on, to do the service that God has called us to, as He has enabled us to, and do it with all of our might for the glory of God. I'll tell you, there was a man who was mighty in my life, and he still affects it, though now he's gone on to be with the Lord. His name is H.B. Sitton, Horace Sitton, and he used to say all the time, "Let's just keep on keeping on. Thank God, I don't know about you, but we need to be keeping the charge. Oh, it may be rough. It may get wearisome at times. Oh, it may be challenging. We may have hills to climb, battles to fight, enemies to face. But listen, friend, how we need to keep the charge all the way to the end. Now, as we think about this book of Numbers, I'll tell you, it's a great book, is it not? One of the first five of the Bible, one of the five that make up what is known as the Pentateuch, one of the five that makes up what is referred to as the Torah, the Law. And oh, what a great compilation of books that it is written by a man by the name of Moses, a mighty man of God. And here in this book, if you wonder what the book of Numbers is about, well, let me give you a hint. The title of the book is Numbers. And yet there's more to this book than just adding. There's more to this book than just counting the number of men that have been redeemed. Listen, it has to do with the walk of the redeemed children in Israel. It has to do with the charge that I'm about to get happy. It has to do with the charge that God gave them to, the service He brought them into. Whoa, He had already delivered them out of bondage. He had already, friend, shed the blood of the Lamb. He had already brought them through the Red Sea. And I'll tell you, had a place to take them, had a place to bring them into the land of promise, had a desire to bring Him actually, and here's why He brought them out, had to bring them unto Himself. But God said, listen, Moses, you go through the tribe of Levi, and you number them. Now listen, I don't know about you, but as I've read the Word of God, I see where there are times men got in trouble in numbering and counting the number of the host. David got in trouble doing that one time, did he not? And numbers are important. They certainly are. I mean, look, I'm preaching out of a book called Numbers. Numbers are important. But when God began to deal with the children of Israel, He separated or segregated out of the 12 tribes of Jacob this tribe of Levi. My, what a mighty thing it was. God intended all the nation of Israel to be priests and kings unto Him. God called them to be a priestly nation. But because of disobedience, God decided, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you keep your place, and instead of taking one of your firstborn out of every family, here's what we'll do. We'll just let you redeem your firstborn male, and we'll consecrate the tribe of Levi into the priesthood. We'll just set this tribe apart. And when I do that, listen, you don't number them among the others of Israel. Their inheritance won't be a piece of ground up in Ephrathah or down in Beersheba. No, their inheritance, glory to God, will be the service that they do for Me. Their inheritance will be Mine. My, listen, God chose him. God chose him out of the 12 to do service. He gave them a charge to keep. And I want you to know, friend, listen, this chapter 4 of the book of Numbers is about order. God didn't leave anything to chance. God said, listen, Moses, you tell Aaron, and you tell Aaron's son, Eleazar and Ithacar, you tell the descendants of the sons of Levi, Kohath and Gershom and Merari, you tell them what they're to do. And you tell them, I said, this is how that they were to do it. They had a charge to keep, brother. They had a charge to keep, sister. I mean, God had called them aside. God had set them out. God had set them up. And He said, listen now, here's what I want you to do, and here's how I want you to do it. What a great opportunity it was for this tribe. What a great opportunity it was for the descendants of this man by the name of Levi to do service in the service of the Lord. Thank God. I'll tell you, that's why I said what I did earlier. Hey, I get to preach. Somebody said, preacher, you got to go preach. No, bless God, I get to preach. Somebody said, preacher, you got to go to church. No, bless God, I get to go to church. I'm telling you, friend, listen, God gave me a charge a long time ago. And you know what I want to do? I want to keep it all the way to the end. This charge is not only an opportunity, and it is, friend, it's the greatest opportunity any of us will have here on the footstool of God. It's not only an opportunity, but it is a responsibility. And I ought to do it. You ought to do it, sir, ma'am. If you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you ought to do it with expediency. I don't know about you, but I'm aware of the fact that time's running out. Hey, listen, things cannot continue on as they are. I believe the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand, don't you? I believe that. Now, you said, preach, you believe the world's going to end? Well, no, this age will, but the world's going to keep on going according to the Word of God. But here's what I do know. I don't have much time left. I don't have many years left. I don't have many days I've got left. I don't know how much time I've got left to serve, but I want you to know what I want to do. I'm going to keep serving the Lord. I'm going to keep the charge, bless God. So let's consider some simple things from this passage, will you not? Consider them with me. And let's make some simple application. Simple spiritual application. Thank God, listen to what God has called us to. Could we do that? Let's just make some spiritual application if we can. The first one I want you to think about simply is this. And there's only going to be two of them. First of all, this charge was family specific. I've already been mentioning that, have I not? Maybe I should have said it a long time ago. How about this charge, bless God, I was given to a family that was specific. He didn't give it to everybody in Israel. He didn't give it to Judah. He didn't give it to the tribe of Reuben. He didn't give it to the Issacharites. He didn't give it to Naphtali. He didn't give it to Dan. But he said, listen, to the sons of Levi, to Kohath, to Gershom, and to Merari. Here's what I want you to do. He said, I want these three sons. I want them to be charged with certain duties. I want them to be charged with certain things. Now listen, they weren't to be one above the other. The descendants of Kohath, the descendants of Gershon, the descendants of Merari, they were to work in concert. They were to work together. They were to do their part and trust that their brothers would do their part. And you know what happened? Bless God, listen. When they all did, when the Gershomites did what they were to do, when the Merariites did what they were to do, when the Kohathites did what they were supposed to do, all things work together for the glory of God. And I want you to know, without any of them deciding that they would do what they were supposed to do, bless God, they couldn't worship God. Do you hear me? Now listen, the Kohathites, that was the firstborn, I believe, of Levi. He was charged, his descendants was charged with the keeping or the carrying, excuse me, of the furniture of the tabernacle. I'm telling you, after the priest covered it up, when God said, look, it's time to pack her up, boys. It's time to move to another place, the high priest and the priests would come in. They'd begin to take down the curtains. They'd begin to cover up those articles of furniture, those seven articles of furniture in the tabernacle. They'd cover them up and do it just according to God's command. Listen, that's so important to know in this day. After they got them covered up, after the priests covered them up, just like God said, do you know what the Kohathites were to do? They were to grab hold of the staves and carry them on their shoulders. After the Kohathites came the Gershonites. They were to take care of the curtains, the coverings, the cords, the doors, the entrance into the court of the tabernacle, the entrance into the tabernacle itself. They were to take that stuff down. They were to set it up. And boy, I'll tell you, though they came after the Kohathites, listen, that didn't mean they were playing second fiddle. I bless God. If they didn't take care of the coverings, the cords, they didn't take care of the doors, nobody could have done, I bless God, what they all needed to do, and that was to worship. And then along came the Merariites. Their charge, their service, their burden was to take care of the boards, the bars, the pillars, the sockets of the uprights in the court, those pins that held the cords down, the tools to do it. Hey, do you ever wonder what would happen if one of those Merariites had said, "Boy, I'm tired today. That old pin's heavy. I don't want to carry it anymore." And he just said, "Nobody will know." They get from one place to the other. They start setting up that court of the tabernacle. They started throw up that tent. They tried to put the furnishings where they ought to go. And by the way, I believe that went in first, and they built the tabernacle around everything else. I bless God if they got to the last pin. And there wasn't a pin there. Whoa, wouldn't it have been a mess? But I'm telling you, we got a charge to keep. Hey, sir, hey, man, what God's gifted you to do, what God's called you to do is important. Do you hear me? If you got 3 in your Sunday school class, teach them like it's 300. If you clean the church, I bless God, clean it like you thought the president was coming. Hey, if you run a bus and you're a captain on it, I love those kids. Pray for those kids. Fast for those kids. Oh, friend, you say why? Here's the second point. We've got a charge to keep. Yeah, we do. But we've got limited time to do it. If you read through this chapter, you'll find out that these Levites, these Kohathites, these Gershonites, these Merariites, they had a 20-year window of time. Hey, listen, oh, they did some other things beyond that span of time. I know that, but that's not what the Holy Spirit wants me to emphasize today. He said, listen, for 20 years, from the age of 30 upward to 50, you'll be carrying this around. You'll be loading up the wagons if you're a Gershonite and a Merariite. I mean to tell you, you'll have that responsibility. You'll have that charge to keep. You'll have that privilege so that worship might be known, so that God might be glorified, so that those around you might be blessed. Listen, friend, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you do, but what you do is important. And you say, "Preacher, nobody knows my name." Yeah, there's somebody that knows it. Bless God. He's ruling the universe. He's keeping a record. He's going to judge. He'll reward us someday. I'll guarantee you He knows more, thank God, than your name. So here's what we ought to do. We know we're limited in time. We're limited in opportunity. I mean to tell you, we're living, I bless God, in a veil of tears. We're living in a vapor of time. So it behooves us, bless God, to invest up. I mean to tell you, to invest up. We ought to do what we can do while we've got opportunity to do it. Because time is going to come and go. Maybe you've been like Hezekiah, who got 15 extra years and just flitted it away. I mean, the Word of God says that he rendered not according to the benefit done to him. Hey, friend, just repent. Go to God and say, "God, I'm sorry. I've just wasted too much time. But help me to invest from here on in. Hey, help me to finish this race well." Hey, somebody said a long time ago, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Hey, keep the charge, sir. I keep the charge, ma'am. I don't know what God's called you to do. Maybe He's gifted you to where that you're musically inclined. Hey, we need great piano players. We need great people, friend, that'll take charge of security around a church, especially in this day and in this hour. We need men and women who can repair what has been built. Hey, we need people who will give, people who will pray, people who will fast, people who will commit themselves, bless God to keep the charge that God has given to them. I quit looking at spending so much time looking about those around you and wondering why they are or are not doing this or that. And you just focus on Jesus. You just look to the one sitting at the right hand of the Father. You decide that you're going to do what Moses did. See Him who is invisible. And you just keep your charge. Will you do that? Will you do your part, realizing that you don't have long to do it, realizing that one day we're given account of what we do while we're here? Oh, sir, ma'am, can I say it again? Let's be keeping the charge. Let's just hold on. Let's just work on. Let's just walk on. Let's just go on. Let's just do and be all that we can be in this life with this short amount of time that God has given to us, and we'll do it for His glory. We'll never be sorry. Bless God, we'll never be sorry if in this life we decide that we're going to be keeping the charge. Hey, march on, work on, and until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.